I'd like to welcome everyone back this evening to our service. My topic, scriptural teaching on eternity. This little pamphlet, I guess, or whatever you would call it, I decided to go ahead and make a copy of that because as I started this lesson, let me tell you, I really struggled putting together this lesson on eternity. And so I sat down after I started, and I just started listing the verses that had to do with eternity. And as you look through here, I highlighted and underlined those words that were a reference to eternity. So there's about 35 to 40 verses here, and the different words that would be used to speak about eternity. So that's the purpose of this. Plus, it makes a pretty good bookmarker if you want to hang on to it. Otherwise, you can do whatever. But from time to time, if you pick this up and read it, after we finish the lesson, there's some things about eternity that amazed me as I was studying this. The text, Isaiah 57 and 15, "For thus says the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. The lesson not very long this evening. I said there were 35 to 40 verses here. I didn't use all these verses in my lesson, so there's many there. And in fact, you're going to find out, it's really amazing to me, but you're going to find out that these verses, just maybe 25% of the verses that are used in the Bible in reference to eternity. I thought that was amazing. Maybe 35%, but still a small percentage. Less than 50% for sure. Anyway, the word eternity, or eternity explained, eternity is time without an end, or a state of existence outside of time, especially the state that some people believe they will pass into after they die. As human beings, we inhabit time. The Bible says in James 4 and verse 14, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." But think concerning God. God inhabits eternity. There has never been a time when he did not exist. He is without beginning. He is without end. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow is alike to him. He is outside of time, and he sees all, and he knows all. Scriptural teaching of eternity would consist of topics such as eternal life, life everlasting, the eternal God, last things, life by God's word, life is in Christ, life through faith, living for God, origins of spiritual life, everlasting punishment, saved by faith, spiritual death, the gift of eternal life, the nature of eternal life, endless life after death. So you get an idea concerning this teaching, as far as scriptural teaching of eternity. We see how the different translations use synonyms of the word eternity in the scriptures. synonyms of the word eternity are such words or phrases as eternal, everlasting, forever, forever and ever, beginning to end, endureth forever. And I got to thinking about this. This word reward, if you look that up as a definition of reward, it indicates something that you would receive after you have worked for it. But in the Bible, there are places that use that reward referring to eternal life. And so I thought that was kind of unusual because I didn't find a definition of reward that really linked it to eternal life. So that was pretty interesting. Okay, the scriptural teaching of this word eternity would involve other words with the same meaning. We just talked about that. It's interesting, but the word eternity, this is what amazed me. The word eternity is found only one time in the King James Version of the Bible, and that's Isaiah 57:15. That is the only time in the King James Version that you see this word eternity. It is found three times in the New King James Version. Not only Isaiah 57:15, but Ecclesiastes 3:11, and also in Acts 15:18. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, the New King James Version says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end." So in Ecclesiastes 3:11, the King James Version says, "He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." So eternity is used in the New King James Version, where "set the world" is used in the King James Version. In Acts 15:18, there it says, the New King James Version, "Known to God from eternity are all his works." The King James Version says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." So again, we see here The eternity in the New King James Version is eternity. It's used, and in the King James Version, "from the beginning of the world" is used. So where the word eternity is used only one time in the King James Version, the word, now this is something else that amazed me. Eternity used only one time in the King James Version. The word eternal is used 47 times in 47 verses. And the word everlasting is used 97 times in 91 verses. So eternity, it's amazing. They use other words referring to eternity. But when I started studying this, I thought that was amazing. So not only is the word eternity and words that reference eternity, but it is used many, many times throughout the scriptures. In Titus 1:2, there it says, "In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. This is the life of the eternal God living within us. It is present now, but will be completed at a later time. William Barclay said, "The Christian gospel does not in the first place offer man an intellectual creed or moral code. It offers them life, the very life of God." This eternal life is not a wish, but it is a hope, in the sense that hope is an anticipation founded not on wishful thinking, but on a promise from God who cannot lie. 1 John 2 and verse 25, there it says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. When his truth, what we have heard from the beginning, lives in us, then God lives in us also. When God lives in us, we have a promise. In this kind of life, the promise of eternal life is real. This is not mere immortality. Every human being made in the image of God is immortal, in the sense that our souls will live forever, either in heaven or in hell. So eternal life doesn't just mean a life that lasts for eternity. It describes the kind of life that God, the Eternal One, has in Himself. And therefore, while the idea of eternal life has reference to the life beyond this present world, it doesn't begin when we die. If we don't have eternal life now, we won't get it when we die. This is why it is so important to have the promise of eternal life right now. And we have this promise if God's truth abides in us, and we abide in the Son and in the Father. So abiding is our ground of confidence in God. We have the promise of eternal life as we abide. Spurgeon said, you must be in a living, loving, lasting union with the Son of God, or else you are not in a state of salvation. Peter was an apostle who believed that the word of the Lord endured forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25, there it says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached to you. You see, God's word never dies. God's word never changes. There are some who think we ought to have a different gospel every year or a different gospel every month. But that was not Peter's ideal. He wrote, and he was divinely inspired to write, concerning the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Here we see the day on which eternity begins, as contrasted with time, but which day is likewise all eternal itself. It is only one day, but an everlasting day, without yesterday to precede it and without tomorrow to follow it, not brought forth by the natural sun, which shall exist no more, but by Christ, the Son of Righteousness. So what does God say about eternity? In 1 John 5, verse 11 and verse 13, there it says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. This is God's message to man. The eternal life is a gift from God, received through Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. It's all about Jesus, and living in Jesus is the evidence of eternal life. Let's look at what Jesus says about eternity. In John 5 and verse 24, there he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So Jesus explains that those who heard his word would have everlasting life, They would have life connected with eternity and have that life right now. In John 3 and verse 16, it states that belief in Jesus, in the sense of trusting in, relying on, and clinging to, was the path to everlasting life. Here Jesus said that hearing his word and belief in the Father, him who sent me, is the path to everlasting life. Because the Father and the Son are so united in their work, each is true of the other. True belief in the Father is belief in the Son, and true belief in the Son is belief in the Father. With these words, Jesus lifted himself far above the level of any mere man. Think of it. Hear my word and have everlasting life. Hear my word and have everlasting life. Jesus also said in John 5 and verse 39, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." You know, the scribes and the Pharisees studied and memorized and thought upon the scriptures continually, correctly thinking eternal life was found in God's revelation. William Barclay said on this, "They read it not to search for God, but to find arguments to support their own positions. They did not really love God. They loved their own ideas about him." Search the scriptures. The Greek word itself implies keen scrutiny, tracking down the message of the scriptures. The tragedy was that these people, for all their careful exploration of the sacred writings, had never found the clue which would lead them to eternal life. So, what would eternal life actually be like? It is not simply life that never ends, but it's a fullness of life that is unending. In fact, in many ways, eternal life really has nothing to do with time, as it can be experienced apart from time as well as within time. And as we think about that, who is the true God of eternity that is worthy of our worship? The scriptures teach that there is only one true God. He is unique, he is supreme, and he is eternal. He created everything in heaven and on earth, and he gave us life. And therefore, he alone is worthy of our worship. Our text, "For thus saith the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The verse tells us that God dwells in eternity. To be right with God, the first thing to do is to understand his great majesty. The Lord introduces himself to his people with titles reflecting his great majesty, and he expects his people to respond to him as such a glorious God. Though God is high and lofty and lives in the high and holy place, at the same time, he will live with men and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. This is the second thing to know in being right before God. Being contrite and humble before God of great majesty. Let men have a humble and crushed and bruised spirit. To revive the spirit of the humble, when God condescends to visit the contrite and humble spirit, the immediate effect is to comfort, console, and revive. His presence is a well of life, springing up within the soul to everlasting life. John 4 and verse 14. In closing, all creatures of God are as creatures of God. We live, we move, and exist in time. There are certain moments when time seems to drag on. And there are other moments when time seems to speed up. We are bound by the hands on the clock. But it will not always be that way. One day, when our bodies pass, or when Jesus comes in all his glory, time as we know it will be no more. We will enter a never-ending day. This is another thing that caught my attention. You know, an hour to God is the same as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as an hour. We will enter a never-ending day, eternity. It's not more time, but it's timeless existence. Either in hell for our unforgiven sins against the Lord, or in heaven through obedience to the Lord. Repent and believe in the gospel of the kingdom of God. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized for the remission of sin. Throw away the old life and live for Christ. This is gain and true eternal life. I'm going to close with this verse in Revelation 1, verse 8. There it says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. If anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we give you tongue, always standing in sin.